following program is sponsored by House of Prayer.
Welcome to God's Heritage. This is the Women's Hour. Tonight's broadcast is dedicated to Mariah Michelle Dennis. If you wonder why we honor her so much, this is because she was raised by God to be a true mountain of virtue in a world where wrong seems right. Her life stands as an eternal flame of purity before God, and it shall never go out. Love is fire in its purest form, and it burns everything and anything that cannot abide it. Thus, a misconception of love is very harmful. God is love. The reverse is also true. Love is God. If you know God, you know love. If you know love, you know God. If you have formed your own concept of love, then you have formed your own concept of God. You have formed your own God. As I considered tonight's broadcast, I became painfully aware of how little I know God, regardless of how much I know of Him. I also sat down and remembered the impact some brief biblical accounts had on me, especially the very first time I read them. I spent my childhood knowing about God and learning key scriptures because of church attendance. It was very seldom that I actually picked up my Bible on my own to read it for myself. It wasn't until I truly gave not just my life, but myself to God, that I received an appetite for the scriptures. It became not second nature, but a new nature. My search for love and for truth was finally yielding some results. Truth and love go hand in hand. So as I finally began to read the not so often quoted portions of scripture, I saw the snapshots that share in the unspoken pain many women hide in the recesses of their heart. Some of the women we will look at tonight were an example of virtue, while others, not so much. But the focus tonight will be on where truth and love is found. Better yet, where true love is found. We will take a painfully realistic approach to the biblical accounts of these women, and we will unveil the deception of rebellion and the deception of fitting in. We will view the hurtful wounds that come from breaking the mold in rebellion and from yielding to the mold we were told to fit into. No matter what path we take, life will leave us scarred. There is only one way to true happiness, and you will be surprised what it is. From the most liberal to the most conservative upbringing, we all felt the pressure. We all felt the demands made on us by our family, social, religious, and cultural spheres. Those of us who rebelled were hurt by our rebellion. And those of us who followed the well-established pathway to success paid a heavy price. Whether we chose to do it our way or to follow some good advice, we all felt like we lost ourselves. The painful process of growing up robbed us of the little girl we used to be. Regardless of how old you are, you cannot deny whether your upbringing was ideal, according to whatever standard, or not, the happiest you've ever been was when you were just a little kid, before you felt the pressure of having to do your hair a certain way, before you answered to the world's demands. If you notice, older people, they live in the past, going through life longing and looking for chances to experience those simple moments again. It is undeniable that there is a mourning inside all of us, wishing that we could be children again. The knowledge of evil robbed us of the happiness we once knew when we were ignorant of it.
Mark chapter 10, verse 15. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein.
Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. John chapter 3, verse 7.
Many of us have longed and even cried for a chance to start over. If I could, I would do so many things differently. If I could do it all over again, I'd have the courage to say no to so many things and circumstances in which I felt I had no choice in the matter. I'd be more careful with my choices and more truthful with my words. I'd pick my friends more wisely and follow the excellent pathway found within the scriptures. Unfortunately, none of us can turn back the clock. Here is where we must wipe off the tears. There's really no point in crying over spilled milk. Although disappointments are very real, and some errors are detrimental, life doesn't wait on anyone to feel like going on. When everything seems to be lost, the wheels keep turning, and time keeps moving. Therefore, let us not waste the gift of one more breath. Rather, let us give thanks to God, even if life doesn't afford us another chance concerning whatever. Let this be a lesson learned. I encourage you, never yield to despair, but appreciate every breath as a new opportunity to change. Tonight, there are some women in the Bible, some named and some unnamed, that I want to touch on briefly. But before we get into it, I want you to listen to the testimony of a lady who will explain to us how looking to meet her socially and religiously formed ideals left her empty. But instead of giving up, this led her to realize where the ultimate love is found.
There's a cliche that goes, looking for love in all the wrong places. And I can say that this saying defined my life for many years. You know, as a little girl, I grew up on the Disney princess stories. A beautiful princess always meets her true love and they live happily ever after. And growing up, you'd always hear people say like, you know, when you grow up, you'll meet the one, you'll find the one. And so from a child, you're given a totally unrealistic expectation of what life is supposed to be and of what love is supposed to be. And so as I became older, I started searching for this love and in all the wrong places. You know, I joined the military and I ended up as an intel analyst, eventually working for the NSA. I was in and out of relationships, I had friends and a social life, and because of the military, you know, I had some financial security and I was stationed in different places like Texas or Monterey Bay, California, which was said to be one of the most beautiful places in the U.S. And I would try to convince myself, like, this person is the one, or I have the best life, this is it. But I knew that I was lying to myself. And, you know, the money, it wasn't doing it. The relationships didn't work. It didn't matter where I was stationed at. You know, like my career, none of it satisfied. And there was a hunger inside that couldn't be satisfied with the things in this world. And you know, it's like when you try to replace God with these things, it's like drinking salt water. It's like you're thirsty, and so you take a drink, and in that moment, it feels like your thirst was satisfied. But what's really happening is you just get sicker over time and you become more thirsty. And it came to a place where, you know, outwardly I would smile and appear one way, but I would go to my barracks room and drop to my knees, and there would be tears like streaming down my face, and I would cry to God and ask him, like, where are you? Why can't I feel you? Where are you? And it was around this time also that I had a conversation with my dad, and I asked him if he believed in true love, and he said no. And so I asked him, so you mean you settled for your wife? And he said yes. And I remember saying to myself, like, no, there has to be an ultimate love. And so after this period, I ended up stationed at Fort Gordon, Georgia, and I was invited to church. And I grew up going to different churches, but this time it was different. I experienced, like, a real conviction to change. And, you know, so I started attending church, and, you know, they pointed me in the right direction. But having a religion cannot take the place of having a relationship with God. And I finally came to a place where I realized and experienced that there is a true and a living God. There really is an ultimate love. And as a girl and as a woman, like, there really is a true desire to find the one. And the one does exist. But the one that we're looking for is the true and the living God. And he's the only one that can satisfy that desire. But like the Bible says, you know, to set your affection on the things above. And when you do that and you truly experience falling in love with God, it's like you'll be able to say with that woman in the Song of Solomon, I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and I would not let him go.
As we begin to look at the Bible to get a glimpse of humanity as is, we began in the book of Genesis. The whole of chapter 34 is dedicated to the tragedies affecting and surrounding a young girl named Dinah. In the whole chapter, she never says a word. Verse 1 opens with Dinah going out to see the daughters of the land. The chapter implies that she had been a sheltered young lady. Her family was wealthy and traveled around quite a bit. Her dad had built a house in Sukkoth. It seemed as though they were finally going to settle down. Then, he decided to buy some land and spread his tent outside of the city of Shalem. Here they are, back to the tent, at a whole new place. So she went out to try to make new friends. In the process, a local prince noticed her and ultimately fell in love with her. You can read the story. They failed to do things right, but the young man was determined to marry her, so he went to her family. The story ended very badly. All 11 of her brothers were upset at the situation. Simeon and Levi, in particular, were fuming. Jacob, also known as Israel, consented to give Dinah in marriage to Shechem, the prince. Whether she loved him back or not, the Bible doesn't say. What it does say is that her brothers killed everyone in that city. Now remember, we're not talking about New York here, but extended family clans who developed into very small governments and kingdoms. Regardless, it was ruthless, unnecessary bloodshed. Too much for a Prince Charming story. If Dinah loved Shechem, her brothers just scarred her for life. If she didn't, Shechem and her brothers scarred her for life. You never hear about her again, except when they were going into Egypt to weather the famine with Joseph. Did she ever recover from such a tragic youth? Did she ever find love? The Bible doesn't say. Now, let's move on to Tamar in 2 Samuel chapter 13. A young princess with her life ahead of her. She was cursed with beauty. You may wonder why I said cursed and not blessed. Well, because many a pretty girls will agree with me that their outward robbed them of anyone ever caring for who they really are. thee became nothing but a pleasant sight, and pray to the best hunter. If they dare display any chastity, they were mocked, until they yielded to the pressure of being a slave to their looks. The world is very cruel, and cruel is the story of Tamar. The young man named Amnon thought he was in love with her, but he really wasn't. The Bible says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. There are evil forces who permeate the air with lust and unbridled desire. Remember, the adversary is called the prince and the power of the air. If we follow concupiscence, it will always work ruin, no exceptions. With desire for the forbidden, Amnon was still not brave enough to go for it. So, what do you know? He has a friend to encourage him for evil. How many of us have had so-called best friends who turn out to be the worst advisor, quiet the backstabber, and an opportunist?
But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 3.
Many were hurt by the whole ordeal, but especially Tamar. Her angry brother Absalom kills Amnon for hurting her and becomes an exile. Then the account goes on. She is not the focus of the scheme of things at this time. Thus, she fades away. Before we go on to the next account, I must make clear. This broadcast is not, and will never be, anti-man. God himself is a true man, except when it comes to the carnal aspect of it. He is a king, not a queen. He is the king, I should say. He is a provider, a protector, a deliverer, one who, according to scripture, takes singular care to women and children, especially to widows and orphans. The Bible says, the man Christ Jesus. Thus, before God, beginning with Jesus Christ, and every man after him, they all have a huge responsibility as outlined in the scriptures. As for me, I am a woman. It is not in my lane, nor is it in my place to focus on that matter. This is the women's hour, and we are here to encourage everyone, especially women, to once again follow God's method and will for their lives.
And so as a single mom, I have that right to go before the throne, to call upon the Lord. And I have the scriptures, I have inspiration, I have the support of the believers, the brethren, the sisters, the ministers. You have true love, you have true support, and you can trust this foundation that has been given. Whosoever will, let them come. So that's for any woman, any child, any man, any boy, any girl. It doesn't matter your age, it doesn't matter the gender. What matters is that you within yourself will take the opportunity when it's presented to you.
Time went faster than expected. So before we go, I really want to look at Ezekiel's wife. If God allows, we will look at other not so well-known Bible women on another night. God put Ezekiel through a lot, and his unnamed wife remained a faithful companion through thick and thin. Although unwritten, she was there, tending to him as he laid there, unable to move. Beside him, as he sat there, unable to speak, she understood. She did not marry an ordinary man. So this could not ever be an ordinary relationship. Her love, faithfulness, and devotion was first to God, and it reflected in her service to the Prophet. Her happiness could not come from a kiss or from a hug. She had to draw from a deeper well in order to make it through life with a song and a smile. Otherwise, she would have said, "I am leaving." Instead, she continued steadfast, with heaven as her aim, for that is where her true love was. And many waters can never quench such love.
Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with the stroke. Yet neither shalt thou mourn nor weep, neither shall thy tears run down. Forbear to cry, make no mourning for the dead. Bind the tire of thine head upon thee, and put on thy shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy lips, and eat not the bread of men. So I spake unto the people in the morning, and at even my wife died. And I did in the morning as I was commanded. Ezekiel 24:16-18.
Some time ago, I read a poem about Ezekiel's wife in one of our Prayer Force magazines. The poem describes how she was also a sign, and I want to read it to you. He needed me to be a sign for him, my death to stand a figure to my people of the things which he will do to them, except they turn and seek his face. I am so content to die for this. I could not speak for God, as thou hast done so well, but I can be to God, and for my people, and for thee, to aid in thy great work, a sign. As a sign of judgment to come, she died. The morning after her death, the prophet, with grief buried in his heart, sternly fulfilled the divine command. Their love to God was so much stronger than their love to one another. If they loved each other more, they would have disobeyed and lost their souls. Please, do not take this the wrong way. God is not calling you to create self-inflicted pain. He much rather you live for him than die for him, physically speaking. God just wants us to be happy, truly happy, while doing the right thing. To all this, 1 Corinthians 13:3 answers, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." Without true love, nothing matters or means anything. The Song of Solomon 5:8 echoes this same cry. "I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, tell ye him that I am sick of love." This is the heartbeat of every woman for that one true man. When the woman was created, the first man she saw was God. And he took her to Adam to be a helper, not a lover. This is not doing away with the normal natural process. We're speaking spiritually here. Women were made to be a friend and companion, not an object, nor an idol. This sounds shocking, but it shouldn't be. This is perfectly biblically sound and much in tune with reality. Did you ever wonder how come you can fall out of love? The answer is because it wasn't love to begin with. It was an intense emotion, chemistry working in your body, and lust working in the air. Love never ceases to be. But where? Where can I find it? This eternal love, who is higher, purer, who transcends time and space. The kingdom of God is within you. You will find him, the eternal flame, when you seek for him with all of your heart. Give God your heart. He will not disappoint you. This broadcast was dedicated to Mariah Michelle Dennis. God is that flame which is found in Mariah, and I pray it be ignited within me as well, and let it ever reflect her light. Glory be to God.